It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. Here I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. And today we're talking about It Ain't All About That. It ain't all about that. Misconceptions about marriage. I know you have some. I know there are many out there. Misconceptions. People believe that marriage will be one thing, but it turns out to be something else. Not always a negative, but come on, let's be open. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Good morning, Philadelphia, Charlotte, and those listening around the world. We want you to give us a call, 855-454-5905. 855-454-5909. And as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for your love, for your mercy, for your clarity, God, that you bring us through your word, Father. I do pray that you open our minds and our hearts, God. And as often we pray, Father, that those who were not even perhaps planning to listen, Father, perhaps driving through one of our cities, God, or for some reason are really struggling in their relationship right now, I do pray that your spirit will move in a powerful way through the airwaves today. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I am your host, Marcos Mercado. I'm flying solo today. Tiffany is away doing an amazing workshop for a lot of what she does with her work. And so we are very grateful for her, and we do wish her the best. We'll pray for her this morning. And so as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great marriage. You know, I want us to focus for a minute. Our topic today is It Ain't All About That, Misconceptions About Marriage. What are some misconceptions that you may have had? What are some misconceptions that you might have even right now if you're not yet married? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and a wife must respect her husband. I think misconception number one is that marriage will be happily ever after. You know, people have beautiful weddings, including my wedding, and many of you, I'm sure you spent time, effort, tons of money to have this amazing wedding day, but you have not really prepared for your wedding life. And so the misconception is that, you know what, we work it out, we can live on love, this is going to be beautiful. Let's get honest. Let's get real, people. We want to hear from you. 855-454-5905. 855-454-5909. Put that on your phone. Lock it in. We want to hear from you. All right. So here we are. We're talking about misconceptions about marriage. Many times, and I noticed that we're going to be going back and forth on our Facebook page today. I posted this question, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, and we've had a lot of fun on our Facebook page. If you've not yet joined us there, I do want to invite you to go look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, click the like button, and get in on the conversation. And we're talking again this morning about marriage misconceptions. So here, I'm going to read a few, and we'll get through the rest of the show. Again, give us a call, 855-454-5905. Valerie says, "A common one is that marriage is fuzzy or sweet like cookies and ice cream." All right. And so that's true. A lot of times people believe, or they think, you know, marriage is sweet. It's going to be fine. You know, everything is going to be good. And then there's a bitter side to marriage. There are those hardships. And I think a lot of times we don't prepare for those hardships. We don't prepare. We say for better, for worse, but we really don't prepare for the worst. And so, Valerie, thank you so much for that post there. Nikki Sim says, "It's easy. All the answers will come once you tie the knot. It will be bliss every day." So pretty similar to Valerie. She's saying that it will be sweet like cookies and ice cream. Saying, look, it will be bliss. Every day will be Valentine's Day. You know, every day is going to be great. And the reality is there will be some tough times. There will be some challenges there. Tanisha and Terrence Scott say they feel that men feel like it's a ball and chain. Surprisingly, most men don't feel that way. And that is so true, especially in the world. You know, you tell your coworkers, you tell your buddies for men that you're going to get married. And they say, oh, there you are. You're going to lose your freedom. This is, you sure you're going to do this? You know, you're going to hang yourself. And then the reality is, you know, most men don't feel that way. And I agree with Tanisha and Terrence Scott. that most men do not feel that way. I know I definitely and surely didn't. I know many men that I talk to, they're excited, especially Christian men. They're trying to do things the right way. You know, sometimes it's a little bit scary for men to make a commitment. But once you make that commitment, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman. It doesn't feel like you're tied down. Doesn't feel like you're, you know, ball and chain. So I do want to encourage everybody, go ahead and follow us on Facebook.com. A lot of things that we're talking about here. Let's go back to the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Now, what is that saying? And I want to break this down a little bit, because the Bible here, and if you have little ones, I want to encourage you, you know, this is an adult conversation that we're having. Make sure that you don't have your little ones in the room as we have this discussion. But the two becoming one flesh is talking about the intimacy, the connection, the becoming one. And it's so true that it's not going to happen easily. It's not going to happen, you know, overnight. I'm really appreciative. I'm not going to mention the name, but someone shared something with me yesterday that really resonated. She said that this has been a model for her. And she mentioned that her mom said, look, if you have siblings who grow up with the same mother, the same father, go to the same school for the most part, have the same family, share the same home, eat the same meals, and they have a hard time getting along, imagine what it would be like for two people who are perfect strangers who go and get married and live under the same roof. I mean, why do we have this misconception and believe that all of a sudden it's just going to work out, when sometimes with the people we grow up with, it's hard to connect and to really be unified? So in this case, Bible says that the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. God's will from the very beginning is that you're one. You don't become two. You don't become, okay, you know, we're separate individuals and we're going to try to work together as roommates. You become one. And so one of those fallacies is, okay, this is going to be an easy, smooth transition. We love each other. We've had a great time dating and courting and through the engagement process. But the reality is, you know, it will be challenging. And we just got to be honest about that. So does that mean that marriage is not worth it? Absolutely not. I love my wife, and I believe that we've had many great years ahead of us. We've had many great years behind us. So the reality is, we want to make sure that we are clear about what marriage is and what marriage isn't. Let's go back to Facebook. We have Nancy Cornell saying that love is enough. Love is enough, okay? That we were just saying that, you know, is that true, that love is enough? And then also that it's not hard work. Okay, so we were definitely talking about that. We want to make sure that that we're clear. Once again, I want to give the number out, 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. Today's topic is, it ain't all about that, misconceptions about marriage. Let's make sure we stay tuned in. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, a quick pause for the cause. But don't you dare touch that dial, because we'll be back talking about misconceptions about marriage.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and today's topic is, it ain't all about that, misconceptions about marriage. What are some misconceptions you've had about marriage? What are some misconceptions about perhaps your friends, your family members have, and that you, now that you're married, you're saying, wait a minute, this is not what marriage is about. I know many singles who really believe, including when I was single, believe that marriage is something that really quite isn't. And so does that mean that it's bad? No. But a lot of times we go by hearsay. We go by what the Hollywood tells us that marriage should be, living happily ever after. And so right now on the line, we have Ronald. Ronald is an ordained minister who wants to talk about misconceptions about soulmates. Good morning, Ronald. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. morning, sir. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you so much for calling in. And so what do you have to say about that? I believe that that's true. A lot of people do believe that you must find your soulmate. So what is the misconception regarding that?
The misconception I believe in that is that you go and you put limits on the people that God sends into your life because you're searching for the person that you think has it all together, that you think is the perfect person for you.
Okay.
And what we're doing, we're not giving our Savior a chance to direct us to the right person.
Okay. All right, so let me ask you this, Ronald. So how do you know if this is the right person in the eyes of God or not? Because a lot of times we want clarity, right? We want to make sure we don't make a mistake, and we want to make sure we do things the right way. So here you are, you're saying, I want to make sure, or people want to make sure, but you really want to hear the words of God. So how do you do that?
Well, I believe there's three ways or three things that you can determine whether this person is the one that God has sent your way, or is it a flesh thing?
All right, just three? Okay, I can't wait to hear them. What are they?
Okay, first thing is, do you have open communication?
Okay, open communication. That's good. Absolutely.
And number two would be, can you agree to disagree?
Well, that's an easy one. Isn't that like what everyone says when they can't agree? They just say, all right, we'll agree to disagree.
Well, no. An open dialogue conversation between two people who say they can agree to disagree, to me means that even if the person that you're talking with has intelligent enough to know that, hey, this person is right on cue with what they're saying. So in order for me to live peacefully in my house, I'm going to have to agree.
All right. Okay, well, that's good. And then what's the last but not least?
The last will be, is it love or lust?
Ooh, that's a bit. We've done entire shows just based on that topic. Love
and
or lust?
I've heard your show. You are definitely right. But see, I believe a true sign of love is not bringing something, let me say it another way. It's not under the conditions of what the other person has to bring to the table, but it's accepting what the person has to bring to the table and then to enhance it, what you have to bring to the table. And what the Word of God says about love is bearing.
Okay.
Love is forgiving.
Absolutely.
Love is also, you know, things in 1 Corinthians, you know, 15
13. All right, excellent.
Yeah, 13.
Ronald, thank you so much. We appreciate your call today. And once again, we are talking about misconceptions about marriage. And Ronald just called in and talked about the misconception about soulmates, how sometimes we believe we want something, but we're not really clear about what God wants for us in terms of a mate. Thank you so much for your call, bro. All right, so here we are. We're talking about, here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we're talking about It Ain't All About That. What are some misconceptions about marriage that you may have had? The number to call us is 855-454-5905, 855-454-5905. All right, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. We're just kind of clearing up some things here on the line. But once again, we invite you to visit our Facebook page, where this morning we have many, many of you chiming in, mentioning what you think about this topic, different misconceptions about marriage. And so we're going to keep going here. We have Ayana says that it's not hard work. I think we talked about that already, but it's not, because it is. It is hard work. And sometimes people don't like to admit that and say, well, it shouldn't be. But it is. It's hard work. And so we want to make sure that you are clear about what marriage is and what it isn't. Then Lydia said, marriage is not a state. It is a living, breathing, ever-changing joint step in life that requires attention, careful thought, and love, or it dies. I love that it is a living, breathing, ever-changing joint step in life. Lydia, thank you so much for sharing that. Then I went ahead and I usually don't do this, but I have felt the need and compelled to, you know what, let's talk about this. Again, if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and our topic is It Ain't All About That, Misconceptions About Marriage. And I want to just give you a little heads up. If you have little ones in the room, you know, sometimes our topics do get a little spicy. We keep it tasteful. We know we're on an inspiration station, so we're not trying to, you know, talk about anything in a way that would be tasteless, but at the same time, we want to be righteous and honest. So one of the things I mentioned on our Facebook page, I said that sex will be the cure for lust. I know many single men and women who think that, all right, if I get married and then now I can have sex and it's right in the eyes of God, then I'm cured. Like, I won't struggle with this anymore. This won't be a burden in my life anymore. And that is an absolute misconception. Now, don't get me wrong. Throughout the honeymoon, the first few, you know, weeks or even the first few months of your marriage, that can be true. You feel like you're cured. You feel like I'm doing great. I don't need anybody else. And then all of a sudden, you begin to realize that the devil is tempting you. And for some people, if you don't really put your purity in check and you get married, you will have more struggles. And so what ends up happening is, you know, people who get married start having sex, and then now they're not fulfilled because that person, it can't be and meet your needs every single moment of the day. And so we want to make sure you're clear about that. We're going to go ahead and go back to our phone lines. We have Karen, who is on line 2. Good morning, Karen. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, Karen. Okay. Yeah. I think I can hear you well. If you could just speak up just a little bit and make sure your radio is completely turned off.
Okay,
so we're talking about misconceptions about marriage. What misconceptions have you had, or perhaps you know your friends and family members have?
Well, one misconception I feel a lot of people, as far as Christians have, mm-hmm. is that just because a person is saved, that one is the one for me. Because the first criteria, of course, we want to look for is somebody who is saved, because the Bible says don't be unequally yoked together.
Sure.
But you also have to spend time with that person, know that if you're compatible with one another, know that this is the person that God has for you, because then if that's the case,
sure.
he's going to enhance you, you're going to enhance him. And I think about the story of Rebecca and how Abraham told his servant to go, you know, to his family mm-hmm. and get a wife for his son, because he didn't want him to intermingle, of course, with the heathen. And when he went, he didn't just choose the first person. He didn't just go and say, okay, there's the first person I see. That's the person I'm going to get for Isaac. But he prayed and asked the Lord to send the right person. And
sure.
to a certain criteria he was looking for as far as that servant attitude. So I think as Christians, we have to rely on the Spirit of God at all times, when we're planning for marriage, after marriage, while we're going through marriage, every step of the way, we have to totally rely on God and know that this is the person that God connected us to, and we have to be committed to that connection.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to just reiterate what you mentioned, that being saved is not enough, because mm-hmm. you met someone at church. Because they seem to be spiritual doesn't mean that's the person you need to spend the rest of your life
Amen.
With.
Amen.
And I think, you know, there has to be a balance. I mean, of course, they need to be spiritual. Like you said, they cannot be unequally yoked.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to make sure that you are not compromising. Amen. And sometimes this is something I've seen. When we're in love, or we in love with the fact of being in love, like mm-hmm. we want to be in love so badly, we want to be married so badly, you begin to fill in the blanks. The Amen. Person might not meet those desires and dreams that you have,
mm-hmm.
but you fill in the gaps. You say, oh, no, that's okay. And
right.
and you tend to be a lot more tolerant. And then you figure out where you spend the rest of your life with this person. Now, I see that happens with everything, right? You can do that when you go buy a car. You might say, yeah, I'm not sure about this car. And you might be locked into this car for a few years. You might do that when you buy a home. But you could always sell, move. But when you do that in a relationship, mm-hmm. this is for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And so there are a lot of times I've seen Christians stuck trying to figure out any loophole that perhaps they can get out of this relationship. And so they're like, oh, if the adultery takes place. So they begin to push their spouse away. And it's sad. But
it's
a true reality that I see quite often, Karen. So
right.
thank you so much for sharing that. That's absolutely one of the top misconceptions, I believe, that people think that, okay, just because they're saved, just because they have some of the requirements, they skip a lot of steps.
Yeah, because we're soul, body, and spirit. And when you become one with a person, you become one in all of those areas. So you have to make sure that you're connected spiritually, you know, emotionally, mentally, that all those needs are going to be met. And, of course, God meeting all the needs,
sure.
ultimately, of all of us together. But that spouse is supposed to be able to meet the needs of you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and all those aspects. So
absolutely,
it's important, and it's important to continue to grow and continue to learn and utilize the tools that God has availed to us, because I think a lot of people in marriage, we forget that we have to invest in our marriages just like we invest in anything else. We have to invest time, we have to invest money, efforts into that marriage.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much. Once again, Karen, we thank you for calling in and sharing about that misconception in marriage. All right, God bless you too. All right, let's go to line five, where we have Carmelita waiting, and she's talking about the misconception under the same religion. Good morning, Carmelita. You're live on the air with Praise. What exactly do you mean by that, that marriage is being under the same religion?
Good morning. I think that has a big part of playing it, because if someone is Christian and someone's another religion, it's like, you know, before they get married, they have that talk, and after the marriage, it's like, which religion be the head of the household? Who follow who?
Okay, so
it plays a major role, you know, in the household.
Absolutely, but I don't know if I'm quite clear. So you're saying that it is possible or it's not possible?
Well, it is possible if somebody willing, somebody got to give and take.
Okay,
you know, but who, which one gonna give up what? You know.
So you're saying that one person needs to convert into the other person's religion?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's be clear about that, because, you know, Christianity, in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And what that means is not just someone that believes in God, but someone who's living the same life that you're living. So if you're a Christian, you should only marry a Christian. That's clear, right? And so do you think that the misconception can be that perhaps a Christian can try to work things out with someone that's maybe a Muslim or maybe a Hindu and try to figure things out? And that you're saying that that is the misconception?
Yes, it is. Because when you meet someone, I don't think the first thing people talk about is religion. You know, they get to know each other. And, you know, religion do come into part. But when you meet someone and you start dating, I think that should be something that should be put out front.
Mm-hmm.
When you start dating and you're falling in love, and then here comes the religion part. You know, some people have it like on a back burner.
Sure.
They go to church once in a while, but after they get married, they know it's the right thing to do, so they want to go to church every time.
Okay. Okay. Well,
so that person being of a different religion is like, you know, it do play a major part in it.
Well, let me ask you this: was this the case in your marriage, or are you just speaking, you know, secondhand?
In my first marriage, yes.
Okay. So, can you just share a little bit of what happened there? Like, what were you a Christian? They were something else. I mean, what happened?
Well, I was. I am a Christian, and my first husband, he was not a Christian. But he would go to church with me when we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
We was married for 7 years, and he would go to church with me. And then all of a sudden, he was like, well, this is not my religion. So I'm like, okay, I thought you was, you know, when I invited you to church, I thought you were a Christian because you didn't say it was something different.
Mm-hmm.
But after we got married, he wanted to stick with his religion. And he's like, well, I'm your husband. You got to convert to my religion. And I'm like, okay, that's...
Hold on a second. And what religion was he?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, so he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and you were what denomination?
Christian.
Oh, just Christian. Okay, so you're I guess non-denominational Christian. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, but he was going to church with you on Sundays, and
yeah.
Then all of a sudden, a few years later, he's like, "No, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. You need to come with me on Saturday," and you couldn't work that out. But at the same time, he never talked about his convictions and his beliefs when you were first married.
No, he would come to church with me all the time, and we stayed married for 7 years.
Wow.
Had kids, and then all of a sudden, you know, his family started saying, you know, you need to be back with the family, going to church, and we ended up getting divorced that way.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff started coming into play with arguments and stuff, and yeah. But oh. I got remarried. I'm a newlywed. I got married 3 months ago.
Okay.
I'm a Christian.
And you sure about what he believes?
Yes, we go to church together. We both deacon and deaconess of our church.
Okay. Well, Carmelita, we thank you so much for calling in. And I think there's something that I hope all our listeners, especially those who are not yet married, truly embrace, and that's the fact that we want to make sure we know the person we're married, know their convictions, know their beliefs, know where they stand in terms of their relationship with God. So thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You too. Take care. All right. So, again, we're listening. You're listening into Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and we're talking about It Ain't All About That, Misconceptions About Marriage. Give us a call. We have a brand new number, 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. And a couple of things I want to mention. If you're driving, please pull over. We don't want you to get into an accident or get a ticket or anything like that because you're trying to have a conversation with us. We do want to ask you to, if you call in, to listen to us and not the radio. And the other thing I want you to know is that you're having a conversation with me, okay? You're talking to Marcos. So make sure you're not talking to anyone else at that time so that we can have this conversation and so our listeners can really get into this conversation. I know many of you are thinking, all right, should I call? Should I not call? What do I say? Let me tell you, let the spirit move. We want to hear from you. We have more callers, and we're going to go to the call, to the callers just now, but I want to make sure you don't miss this opportunity. Again, the number is 855-454-5905. Misconceptions about marriage. All right, we're going to go ahead and go to line two, where Loretta is waiting. She wants to talk about this misconception. Although she's not married, she wants to talk about this. So good morning, Loretta.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise. Now, our producer mentioned that you're not married, but you want to get into this conversation.
Yes, I do, and I'm not married.
And that's fine. I want you to know that's fine. We have almost right about down, split down the middle, about half of our listeners are single, wanting to learn about relationships and wanting to learn from other people's mistakes so that they can do it right. So, Loretta, what misconception you want to talk about today?
That when you marry, that life is going to go well for you and for you and your family. One of the misconceptions is because you marry each other that your families have to love one another. I know as Christians we are supposed to, but because you chose someone to marry and you chose to live the life that you allow them to let you live with them, not necessarily a good life for you, it doesn't mean that your family is going to accept them, your family is going to be happy with your marriage, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. And, of course, that's where the scripture comes in, that you have to forsake on all others. And
sure.
It caused a lot of problems for the family, for the children of that marriage, and so on. And I think that's a major problem in a lot of relationships. We may not always express ourselves to our loved ones when they marry someone.
Now, Loretta, if you don't mind me interjecting, now, are you sharing this from experiences that you had yourself or that you witnessed others having around you?
Of course that I witnessed. I haven't married, but of course I've been engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that's been a problem for me. And I have two grown daughters, and it does become a factor. You know, the men that they choose, if they chose to live with them, it doesn't necessarily mean that I want these men for them.
Sure.
And I have to accept it to a point as a Christian mother, and I want them to live a Christian life, but if their men are not living Christian lives,
I got you.
That's going to cause effect. But you expect when you go to their weddings and so on, you expect this bliss. You know,
sure.
The people are there and they're all celebrating, and you're doing this a lot of times just because you want to support the people that you love, but it doesn't mean that you're going to have a happy life. And I think that's a big misconception, something that needs to be worked out.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely, Loretta. And I think for all those who are just tuning in, we're talking about misconceptions of marriage here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. We want you to call us, 855-454-5905. And Loretta was just sharing about how the misconception can be that things are just going to work out and everyone will be happy. But sometimes, you know, as a mother, you're speaking as a mother, Loretta, you don't always agree because you don't think that that's best for your daughters. And so you have that quite often where the person you choose might not be who your family approves of. And so I think you hit it right on the head. That is absolutely a misconception that, you know, once if you're married, your whole loving family should love this person as well. And it doesn't always quite work out that way. So, Loretta, we thank you so much for calling in and for sharing that story with us.
Thank you.
All right, let's go back to another caller here. We have line four. We have Miriam, who believes that religion is the misconception. Okay, we were talking a little bit about this topic earlier. Miriam, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise. Pretty good. So what exactly you mean by that, that religion is the misconception?
You know, because I'm just saying, I'm Christian. My husband is Catholic, and I go to his church. He go to my church.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, we happily marry. I mean, everybody have quarrels, and it is it's hard, like you say, step outside the marriage or whatever. But as one does pray to your God, it's only but one God, really.
Well, we know it's one God, but there's different ways to interpret the scriptures. There's different convictions you have. And so do you have children together, Mary?
No, we don't.
Okay. Are you planning to?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens when you go to what church you attend? Not the actual church, but the denomination?
I mean, Christian said, what, Seventh-day?
Okay.
Well, they're not right.
So you're a Seventh-day Adventist. He's a Catholic.
Correct.
And so when you have children, where are you going to take the children?
We could take them to both. Why not? They make their choice.
But
I mean, do they really understand? I mean, they could stay on both. They could do both. And I'm just, okay, my father was a Muslim. My mom was a Christian.
Okay.
So we did both. So my mom honored my father's religion. So we went Muslim. So when we grow up, it was our choice.
Well, it is. But what I'm saying is when they're small, you're saying you could take them to both. So 1 week, your kids will go to the Catholic church. The other week, they'll go to the Seventh-day Adventist church. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and then what about if you really want them to do, let's say, the First Communion in the Catholic church, your husband does, but you're like, I don't believe in that. So why are we going to do that? Or I'm going to baptize them as a baby, and you're like, no, that's an adult decision. And so you might have the same God, but you have many different ways to follow. There are different denominations. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but what do you think about 2 Corinthians 6 when it says, do not be unequally yoked? Do not be yoked with unbelievers, meaning that it's not that, again, it's not that you don't believe in God, because you can say that, you know, Muslim and other religious people, that, you know, Jewish people, they believe in God too, but they don't believe in the same Jesus. They don't believe in following in his steps. It does bring conflict. I mean, maybe not with a Muslim or something, if you're that clear that it's different. But there's a reason why God in his infinite wisdom says don't do it.
You're saying as we separate religion, we not equal yoke?
Well, you tell me, is it equal?
Yes, it's equal. It's our decision.
Okay.
As a marriage, we are as one. So therefore, we are equal.
But you're not even worshiping at the same place. Is that equal?
As long as we worship God. That's my
bottom line. Okay. No, I mean, Miriam, you're entitled to that. I could tell you this much. How long you been married?
Oh, not even a year yet.
Okay. And you know what? I don't want to wish anything. I pray that that continues to go. And actually, I even pray that this draws you closer together and, you dig deeper into the Word of God and say, okay, God, what do you want for our lives as we move forward? But I do think right now you might just be in this marriage bliss. We had a caller earlier that shared that her husband was going to church with her for a while, and then one day he just said,
you know what,
I gotta go where my family wants to go, and then it became a huge issue. So, amen. I respect that. I think it's great that you're able to get along in this way. If anything ever changes, we'll love to hear that from you as well.
No, my husband is open-minded, so therefore, you know, his family was pushing, I need to go to Catholic, because, you know, my name is Miriam Alaku Alu.
Okay.
So, therefore, they say, I need to go to Catholic. He say, no. Wherever my wife want to go, that's where she go. And I come visit her church. He really open-minded and stick where he say.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, Miriam, we appreciate you calling in. And we absolutely wish you the best in many great years of marriage with your husband.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right. Let's go to line two, where Amber is waiting for a question and a comment. Good morning, Amber. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. Tiffany usually says, Tiffany usually says we're breathing on schedule, and I always wonder, like, is that good or bad? But I tell you this much, I'm grateful to be here. I'm excited to be here this morning. We're talking about marriage misconceptions, so I'm even grateful that we're able to clarify a lot of these misconceptions today. So what is your comment and question? Because I heard you have both.
One of the concerns that I have with misconceptions with marriage is that
you know, a lot of people say that, you know, you need to stay with your husband and, you know, God frowns upon divorce and things of that nature. But my question is that when do you say enough is enough in terms of, you know, walking, you know, according to, you know, God's word, you know, in your marriage, you know, staying with your husband, you know, and I just need to know when do you say, okay, enough is enough. God is not in this at all. At least I don't feel anyway.
Okay, well, it all depends, right? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, one of the qualities of love is love perseveres. Right. So, you know, enough is enough. I mean, that could be so relative, right? You can have a week of a really hard time in your marriage and you're like, enough is enough, where other people have years of that. I've known some people who've endured like the worst of the worst for years and they've not let go. And others who, you know, they just hit a bump and they're like, forget it, I'm out of here. That's enough. And so the first thing is, you know, are you persevering? And I think a lot of what God does is he uses his word and he uses people in your life that you can trust. The Bible talks about having godly counsel and godly advice. So if you don't mind just sharing just a little bit more about the situation so that perhaps I can help you. You know, if you're saying something in terms of enough is enough, how bad is bad?
Well, this is over years. And I think it's more emotional abuse and more verbal abuse. And I just feel like over the years that I've been there, I've been with my husband, and I stayed because I've always felt like I've had to cover him and protect him. And I knew that as long as, you know, we were together, as long as he was with me, that he would be okay. But I just feel that along the way, I've lost myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm just disenchanted right now. And I don't know. I just don't know where to start. Like,
okay, well, first of all, We can hear your anguish. We can hear your hurt right now in your voice. And so when you say verbal abuse, and are you saying physical abuse as well, or just, you know, not just, but is it?
It's been mainly verbal abuse where, you know, the name calling, call me D's, you know, and then, you know, there was one incident where he spit in my face. And, I mean, wow. It's just, but then on the other hand, you know, he's sitting, you know, holding the Bible, going to Bible study and, you know,
sure,
reading the God on a regular basis. So it kind of makes me say, you know, I don't want to sit in church next to him, you know, and I know that my going to church has nothing to do with him. My relationship with God has nothing to do with him, but I just...
You're right. Well, Amber,
I don't know. I just want to get all of my personal effects and just be gone, you know. But then on the other hand, you know, I'm kind of, you know, stuck where, you know, on the word of God, where, you know, my husband, I marry him, you know, and, you know, do you leave? Like, I don't know.
Okay, well, Amber, let me just interject, because we just have a couple of minutes before we take a break. But you're being very open, transparent, and I think that here's one of the misconceptions. 1 Corinthians 13, right, talks about the different aspects of love. And one of them, it says that love always protects, always trusts. A misconception, this is a huge one, is that by protecting your husband, you don't expose your husband. I think you need to, and I'm not talking about just here right now on the air. I'm talking about if you go to church together, you pull your minister aside, you pull someone that is trustworthy, you decide we need to go to get counseling, and you expose it. You don't allow him to live this facade, this hypocritical Christian life where he's going to church, you know, talking about the Bible and all these things, and then behind closed doors, you know, cussing you out, abusing you verbally, emotionally, you know, that you need to expose, and you need to say that that's not right. I can't live like that. It's ruining my faith. It's hurting. It's affecting your relationship with God. You're saying you can't barely worship. You don't even want to be at church because of the hypocrisy. You need to expose that. You need to say enough is enough, not because you need to leave, but he needs to get some help. He's living the life of a Pharisee.
Right.
And you are his wife, and perhaps God put you in his life. Not perhaps. You can help this man make it to heaven. Now, it's going to have to be his choice, but you're going to expose in a loving way. Okay, the Bible says you speak the truth in love, so you don't do it just to embarrass him. But someone that's trustworthy, you say, you know what, we need to have a conversation. So let me just mention this to you, Amber. I would love to continue this conversation off the air.
Okay,
so if you can hold on just for a moment, and I'm going to give you some information so we can be in contact, but don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back here on Marriage Beyond the Vows.